Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Beauty Fascist Friday Nights is ruling and reigning in Christ, and it really is to come to intercede and to pray and to believe God to move mountains. Amen. And let me say, God wants us to move the mountains. It's to believe, to get to a place in God where we can move mountains and really see how big God is. And part of the thing we're doing on Friday nights, which has me so excited, is we're not just soaking in the presence of the Lord, but we're waiting on the Lord. So I just wanted to share to those watching on Facebook Live across the nations, and as we send this out for the next few days, we'll have thousands of people who watch this. I want you to understand the difference in soaking. How many know what soaking is? How many were part of the prophetic Toronto thing and they had what they called soaking? And the word soaking is not in the Bible. But basically, it's where people get still and don't ask God for anything. And you just let somebody sing over you or the worship music play. It's almost always the slow. If you need a nap, it's a really good time to get one. It's okay to sleep in the presence of God if you're tired after work, amen? I mean, I've come in here quite a few times and hit those beanbag chairs before the session started. And so, but soaking, what they call soaking, is really just sitting in the presence of the Lord just to get a refreshing, amen? To get refreshed, to focus on Jesus, to think about Jesus with no expectations, okay? When what they call soaking, there's not really expectations. It's just, I'm going to sit here and enjoy God. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you realize what a powerful promise that is? So when we're soaking, if you want to call it that, call whatever you want. I don't care about terminology. Basically, when I'm delighting myself in the very presence of God, he will give me the desires of my heart. And as I mature and grow up, guess what? The desires of my heart are much more about him and his kingdom than about a car, a boat, or a house. Amen? Or bills or anything else. All of a sudden, he becomes the extreme focus in my life when I take that time to delight myself in him. Amen? And delighting yourself in him can get really powerfully deep. Now, what we're going to do on Friday nights, not always, but probably most of the time, and I want you guys to do this at home. I want those watching from Facebook Live or those who are going to see this through the nations. This is something that we did years and years ago, a small group of us ladies, not even knowing what it was. Amen? How many know Holy Spirit can have you do things you've never heard of before, even though other people might be doing it somewhere? If you're the only one doing it, you might not be doing what God wants you to do. But you could be doing things God's leading you to while he's leading people somewhere else to be doing the same things. Amen? And you not know about it. It depends on how God, for me, God likes to lead me and then confirm it with somebody else's teaching. And it's the whole time he's leading me, he uses his word. Amen? But then he confirms it. I'm like, yes. And I just see that. Waiting on the Lord, to me, is a more specific expectation involved. I'm expecting God to show up here tonight, in a big, big way. When I wait on the Lord, it's not soaking or just enjoying and delighting myself in the Lord and then going off to sleep. Amen? And that's an awesome way to go to sleep at night. Amen? It's an awesome way to go to sleep at night. But waiting is different. Waiting is where you're going to get yourself in a position where you won't go to sleep. If it means you have to get on your hands and knees, if it means you're going to stand up and walk around, whatever it is, it's more of a, I'm expecting an encounter with God. How many know we can't make God do anything? How many know you cannot manipulate him? So don't worry about it. You can't. Amen? So you don't have to have a fear you're manipulating God. It's impossible. There's no formula. There's no buttons you can push. There's no magic thing you can say to get God to jump through your hoops. God does not jump through your hoops. He's never been in your box. Amen? God is the box. Nothing even exists that he is not, his presence is not what's formed it. Amen? When we come together on Fridays and those at home who are going to begin to do this, what we used to do when we first started, there was a group of us women and we were just too hungry for what our local churches in this area that we knew about were offering. We went to church, though. We participated in church. Everyone should have a church where they can pour out. What if what I do, they don't accept? Then do it till they throw you out. I've done that. Amen? If it's led of God, if you want to speak what you need to speak. If you're going to leave a place, go look, then tell the person why. Well, you did this wrong or you did that wrong. Good, tell them. What if they don't agree? That's between them and God. Amen? Amen? That's between them and God. God's had me tell people some really difficult things. Down to doctrine they were preaching completely wrong and why it's putting people in the curse. You know, it's a curse for the wife to want her husband to rule over her. Why? Because it's in Genesis. He cursed woman with a desire for her husband to rule over her. Her desire toward her husband that he'll rule over her. So what's the freedom? Well, after the cross and God comes in, all of a sudden, your husband's not trying to rule over you and you don't have this desire that life can't be great if you don't have a man in your life. All of a sudden, you love him because God has poured his love into you. And you can love unconditionally and you can love completely and God can change your heart and there's no codependency and it's amazing. Same thing, men. If you think you work hard and it's hard to make ends meet and it's hard for things to happen because under the curse, everything Adam put his hand to is going to fail and it's going to be a struggle. But we're redeemed from the curses. So our marriages need to be redeemed. Amen? It's like, and then so anyway, I was at church. I was like, you're preaching the curse in marriage counseling, in marriage sessions, as if it's the blessing. And you're trying to put all the women in this bondage. Oh, I got thrown out of there. And they lost the church. I've been thrown out of 6 churches, and every one of those churches, except for one, are no longer even there. Did I curse them? No, I don't even ever pray against anything. I'm just telling you, when you walk in obedience to God and the authority of God and you're sold out to God and you're his mouthpiece and it's not about you and your opinion, then God does what God's going to do. Amen? And he's shaking everything that can be shaken, but that's for another night. We're going to have a teaching really strong one night on what God is raising up people to do in this last hour with a boldness. And Tuesday night, we're talking about getting our voice back. Amen? I'm so excited personally to see how many people that in our culture calls minorities are getting their voice back in America. I'm so excited to see them really getting their voice back that God's given them. Not a voice to agree with the enemy, but a voice to stand up for God. Amen. A voice to stand up for life. A voice to stand up for freedom. It's amazing. A voice that doesn't agree with I'm a victim forever, but a voice that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Yay, I'm just watching this. We've been praying this for years. We've been preaching into this for years. We've been interceding. Are you saying just you? I don't care what. Is it just you? I don't know what everybody else is doing. I only know what I'm doing. Amen? I know what people are doing that I read and study. I'm not saying I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I'm not concerned with what everybody else is doing. I'm concerned with doing the will of God. Amen? And that's all we want. What is God's will for you? Then do it. And you're going to be hidden in Christ. You're going to walk in this awesome place in God, but you should be growing and growing in God. And one of the ways to really grow in God is to wait upon the Lord. Now, with waiting upon the Lord, you can get teaching on fasting and to fast, to hear the Lord, to fast, to have a breakthrough. Fasting in of itself does nothing except messes up your metabolism. Amen? Now, if God's leading you, he won't let your metabolism get messed up. Fasting is, my flesh is in the way of me hearing God. And I'm not going to let my flesh stop me from encountering God. So I'm going to wait on the Lord and I'm not going to eat. Let me just tell you what I teach, what I heard Pastor Heflin at camp teach, and I really like this, and this is what I teach about fasting, and other people will say, I believe you fast until the grace to fast is gone. So you never know how long the fast is going to be. Why would you keep fasting if he's talking to you? Why would you keep fasting if he answered the question you were giving him? Because fasting in and of itself does nothing, but it's your flesh being told, you are not getting in the way of me hearing God. You're not getting in the way of me hearing what God wants. And the only times that I personally fast, because I hear the Lord so much, but every now and then if there's a situation going on, you know, my family in the church or something where I really can't, it's too much, I have too much opinions. You can never hear God through opinion. If you hear God through opinion, then it could be your opinion. Amen. So sometimes I'll fast to lay my opinions down. If God has to open my eyes in an area I've never seen before, then I may have to fast to bust through that. Amen. So fasting and prayer is something that we should do as we wait on the Lord. Amen. But there's a waiting on the Lord that you can do in the middle of the night. There's a waiting on the Lord that we can do together corporately. And basically, it's getting an expectation. So those watching, wherever you are, get a little group together on your own personally and decide, we're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to believe for God to come. So I'm going to tell you one of the times he came. We didn't call it this back then, amen? There's no formulas. You don't write books and title things and give 5 steps to it. I mean, you can if God tells you to, but I don't do that. I try not to. But here's it. I judge it, so I probably have to some. But anyway, so we would get together and we would put music on. Back in the day, we didn't have the CDs and the DVDs, so you had to get a little tape player and you had to put, and there was only like 3 songs we could find that really had about his presence, you know. So we would play that, so we put it on, then we'd record it again and record again. So when we got together to, quote, wait on the Lord, we would put that CD in and we would all lay on the carpet or get really, for us to get really seriously comfortable so we weren't sitting there fighting our bodies and how it feels, but not to sleep. And we came in unity that God was going to show up. And we just believe, God, we're here because we are so hungry to have to see you, to know you, to hear more about you. We're so hungry, God, for you to be real in our lives. Amen? And this is when we hardly knew how real this was, okay? We had no idea to the degree how real this is. This is so real. This life in the kingdom of God is so powerfully real. The things in the spirit are more real than the things not in the spirit. Amen? And so we're sitting there. I'll never forget the one time. And I was getting ready to go to Russia. And the year before, for whatever reason, my son was in the hospital, so my whole birthday, they had a birthday party with me, but me not there. And I don't know what they did with my presents. I never got them. But anyway, everybody had a good time without me. And so this year on my birthday, I was going to be in Russia. I was getting ready to go to Russia. And so they surprised me at this little gathering of ladies with a birthday cake. And this really happened. It was so cool. So we're in there, and before they brought out the cake, though, we were waiting on the Lord. We were listening to this music and focusing on Jesus and wanting an encounter. They didn't call it encounter back then. That's the terminology that came up since then. We just wanted to meet with God. Amen. We wanted to meet with God. We wanted to feel his presence. We wanted him to be so real. We didn't even know the terminology back then. Now I'd say, I wanted to have a spirit-to-spirit encounter with the Most High God. Whoa! I wanted my spirit, man, which I didn't even understand back then. Amen. Isn't he awesome? You don't have to know the right words or the not right teaching, but if you have a heart that hungers after God, you will find God. He promises, if you draw near to me, not if you draw near to healing, if you draw near to deliverance, if you draw near to getting your problem, if you draw near to prosperity, he doesn't promise you anything for that. Amen. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Lord's like, look my way and watch what happens. He's not, forget this dark soul of the night or whatever they call that. That's just not in the Bible. That's somebody's excuse because you don't. God's trying to show you something and you won't see it. So all of a sudden you're not hearing him anymore. He's talking. You got something blocking. Amen? Oh, everybody say amen. See, when we have these lies so that we just buy, this is just a season I'm going through. I've been walking with God, strongly walking with God, 34 years. I've never had a dark moment of the night or whatever they call it. What do they call it? You know, yeah, the dark night, it's when they say God's not talking to you, but you stay faithful anyway, and you hang in there anyway, and even if you don't hear anything, no, stop and repent. God, why am I, I'm blocking communication with the Word of God, with the Word, amen? He wants me to hear him. Something, I'm out of his will, I'm missing it, something's happened, I bought into wrong doctrine, something's wrong. I'm not going to just call this as normal Christianity. There's nothing normal about not hearing God. My sheep hear my voice. Amen? 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 So I'm the one with the problem. It's not God. He doesn't play games and hide himself so we have to do something to find him. My gosh, he hung naked on the cross, went to hell for us to set us free so we can live in his presence and come boldly to the throne room of grace, go into the Holy of Holies all the time. The most holy place all the time. We got to get rid of this doctrine that people have made up. Just don't buy into that stuff unless you really see it in the Word and you're not. We got a God who absolutely paid everything to have a relationship with us. And he's not a manipulating, game-playing God. Now, he'll make you go deeper. Amen. He'll go, okay, that worked last year, but I want you to get deeper in my word. I want you to get deeper in understanding who I am. I want you to die more to self. I want you to crucify that thing that gets in the way of our relationship. I want you to bring that idol down. Amen. So that's all part of normal Christianity, a big part of normal Christianity. And when people skip that or stop, what happens? That's as high as they go in God. That's as deep as they go in God and as high as they go in God. And then they mimic the same teaching and the same thing without the power of God behind it that they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I believe we're to build on what God has given us, not park on it. So I still believe everything that's in his word that he's taught me through the years, through different teachers and ministers, and even by the Holy Spirit directly. But I don't ever stop there. And I'm so excited because he has me personally in a time of getting ready to go into the next place in him, which I'm like, wow. Because you get to a place, is there a next place in you and this a season where let's do this and let's deal with this and let's get your heart right here and let me teach you this and let's do this. Never boring, never quiet, never wondering where he's at, but not that new place he's taking you that's going to be an exciting time. But at the same time, how many, this is in the Bible, ready? How many know when you go into the promised land, what's there? Giants! Amen. So every time you go into the next place of glory, the next from glory to glory, being changed into his likeness, guess what? Don't be shocked when the giants are there. Because why are the giants in the promised land? God let the devil be here because he knows you're going to have to cling more to God, hate evil more than ever, get hungry for God, read his word, cling to his word, hang on to his promises. And what's going to happen? You are going to die to flesh, die to wrong doctrine, die to everything that needs to die, amen? And enter into the next realm of glory with God. And you can't do it in your head, people, and you can't do it because somebody else has been there. You've got to jump in and walk this walk the way it's written in the Word of God, what you see in the life of Paul, what you see in the life of Peter, what you see in the life of all the different, even old-time stories that the people give us glimpses of what's to come. And then there's the power of the age to come, which is going to be what it's going to be like in the very last days. And then the millennium, which God just now opening my thinking to and my heart to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this next 1,000-year reign thing is going to be extremely wild. And the thing is, I never thought about that till now, which means we must be getting closer to it. Isn't that exciting? Before you're like, let me get through this. Anyway, so waiting on the Lord is something you've chosen. It's in scripture. I'm just not going to pull the scriptures up tonight. If you want to find out where waiting on the Lord is, just go and put wait and see where it comes up. Now, wait on the Lord is not like we're ahead of him. Okay, it's not like, I'm just waiting on God. No, that is horrible pride. Come on, God, catch up with me. Like, come on. That's the same bad thing as saying he's in a box. Get God out of your box. Get God out of the box. Like, God can be put in a box. Ooh. It's the same thing to think that God, you're waiting on God. Well, I'm just waiting on God. You're not waiting on God, as if God's slow and behind you. So the idea of waiting on God biblically is to position yourself or posture yourself to have a real encounter with the real God that's going to take you deeper into the heart of God, deeper into the ways of God, and he's going to become more real to you. And what happens when God becomes really real to you? Number one, there's a reverence that comes in the fear of the Lord. If you don't get a reverence and awe in the presence of the true God, I question what presence you're in. If your doctrine gets off after you've encountered God, you didn't encounter God. You encountered something of your own imagination or something you opened up to because of something that's in your heart that God wants out. Amen? When you wait on the Lord, now don't conjure, okay? I've been in enough prophetic meetings where some people conjure. Do you know what conjure means? It means you actually want something supernatural to happen so much that you begin out of your own imagination to speak things that God's not doing or he's not behind. And what are you doing? You're releasing demonic spirits. And I've been to churches all over the US of A and even other countries, and there is so much witchcraft from conjuring being taught in the church. I'm not talking about conjuring. I'm talking about you be right where you are. Amen. Don't pretend you're seeing an angel if you're not seeing an angel. Don't try to see an angel in the flesh. Amen. Don't focus on somebody else's experience and want that experience. What you do when you hear about somebody else's experience, then you get hungry for God to take you where he wants you to go next, what he has for your life. And it should just wake you up like, wow, there's so much more. Amen. Not, oh, I want that. See, the Bible says that the only thing that protects us from deception is what? The only thing that protects you from deception is not covering doctrine. That totally doesn't protect you from deception. It is part of deception. The only thing that protects you from deception is letting Holy Spirit sanctify your heart and get the evil out, and you agree with them in that. And if you want to wait on the Lord, if you want an encounter with God, then there's one criteria, that you only want the Holy Spirit, period. Whatever that looks like, okay? Whatever that looks like. He can look like whatever he wants to look like. But here's the thing. Remember the sorcerer? He saw the apostles laying hands on people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Obviously something happened when they laid hands on them. There was speaking in tongues, the power of God falling out. They were seeing that. So the sorcerer who was saved, amen? If you go look at the scripture, he was saved. He accepted Jesus Christ. He was so impressed with God. But his heart wasn't pure yet, right? His heart was still full of greed. His heart was still full of, I want to be the one with the power that everybody looks at. So when he saw what the apostles did, instead of saying, oh God, I just want your Holy Spirit, he said, oh, could I buy that? Is there a way that when I pray for people, they get the Holy Ghost, right? Okay, he didn't want the Holy Ghost. He wanted to impress people with power. But in his thinking, he probably thought he only wanted the Holy Ghost, right? And then what did they do? They turn and they're like, basically, they weren't sweet about it, were they? They basically cursed him that the Lord allowed. And what happened when they did that? The fear of the Lord came on him and he repented, didn't he? And from anything we could tell, what they had said didn't happen. Praise God. How many know we need to get into some real apostolic teaching and see how this stuff really works and not leave these scriptures out? Amen? But that is a point to be made there. There's also the girl in scripture who's running behind the apostles saying, these are the most high men of God. Listen to them. These are the most high. These men love God. Listen to them. And he put up with it for a few days. Did he discern? We don't know. He maybe didn't discern it. God maybe didn't let him discern it because discernment's a spirit. Do you understand the gifts are given by Holy Spirit as he wills, not anything we can make claim to? Now, we can operate in certain things more and more, and God's matured us in it, and you'll see it in your life a lot, but only God can give real discernment. So don't judge people if they didn't discern something because God maybe didn't have them discern it for a purpose. Amen? But when you discern something, you do something. Or God, he could have discerned it. I've seen this a lot with me personally. I discern things, and God's like, don't touch it yet. They don't respect you enough yet. They don't respect what you do for me enough yet. If you touch it now, they're just going to take it and you know, run out the door, trash you with it or whatever. Amen? So we don't know for sure what was going on. We do know finally, and I mean, it had to be led of the Spirit of God or Paul would have been rebuked and we would have all read it in scripture, right? So when he finally turned and cast that thing out of her, Holy Spirit told him to. Amen? But what's the story there for us? She looked just like everybody else in the place. She said all the right things. Paul and them even let her look spiritual for a few days. No one else seemed to hardly catch on. Amen? So you can be at a meeting, and doesn't mean everybody who's saying the right things are coming from the right spirit. And don't get all puffed up. Peter didn't speak from the right spirit when he said, not you, Lord, right? When the disciples are all cool hanging out with Jesus, someone called fire down on them. He goes, do you know what spirit you're of? So here we got godly men being sanctified by Jesus Christ. Amen? Seeing this stuff, and what do we watch with them? They still got junk going on. Amen? Can we all say, okay, we're all in this together, and we still got some junk going on, but we're not going to destroy each other, criticize each other, and judge each other. We're just going to do this thing as one body and see how God wants to mature us. Amen? I'm really tired of the silly stuff, to be quite honest. Amen? It's time to grow up and be mature. So waiting on the Lord, you want to only want the Holy Spirit. So when I say, God, I'm so hungry for an encounter, if you want that to be pure, you need to have the motive and you need to get your motive right. I'm so hungry for more of Holy Spirit. I'm so hungry for Holy Spirit to do in my life what I see him do in Peter's life, what I see him do in Paul's life, what I see him do in these others' lives. Now know this, when you mean that, you might have to go through some trials and shaking, right? To get your heart right to handle that. Look what Paul went through when a messenger of Satan was given to him to buffet him. He was beaten, he was imprisoned, all kinds of stuff happened to Paul, right? Right? But look at the power the man walked in. His handkerchiefs healed people. So don't separate the two. There's a preparation that's worth the price to walk in the deep places of God. Amen? That's why if you just hear about it, you're like, oh God, I don't want to go through any of that. There's nobody who'd want to go through what I went through with my life story. But because of getting to know God and walking close with God and hearing God, I count it all joy, the various trials. And they were hard trials. I didn't necessarily count them joy the first minute they were happening. Amen? But I get to, why? How can you count it joy? Because you get so deep in God. Because you fall in love with him for real, and he becomes everything to you. So when we wait on the Lord, I want our hearts to be right. I want those who are listening, when they get together with friends or even in their own room, you wait on the Lord with an expectation that God's going to meet you where your sincere faith is and your heart. If my heart is to only want the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit revealing the Father, or Jesus revealing the Father. I believe the Holy Spirit revealing angels. I reveal the Holy Spirit revealing whatever he wants to reveal from the kingdom of God in the spirit realm that he wants to reveal. Amen? Because he's in charge of this, that he's going to reveal to me what he wants to reveal to me for his purposes and his glory, or sometimes just to have fun. Amen? And there's no fear factor, because I know that I know, and you've got to be the one to know this. I know that I know in the depth of my heart, I only want God. I have no desire for counterfeit. I have no desire to be anybody. I have no desire except for God, who he is for real. That's it. But how many know some sanctification has to come along to knock all that other stuff out of us? Amen? It does. He has to come along and deal with that. And he'll surprise you and keep dealing with it. Amen? It's like, where did this come from? So when you wait on the Lord, whether you're doing it with friends at home or you're here tonight, we're not competing. Amen? If you're here and you want to see an angel because you want to go write a book about seeing an angel and have a big ministry or something, then I can't stop you from having a counterfeit experience, even when we're all in the presence of God. Amen? Only you. Only you. Now, I will tell you what, conjuring is when somebody tells you to close your eyes and they get you to use your imagination to see what they're telling you to see. And they think everybody, though I've been to a meeting once and they told us we were all going to heaven and everybody closed their eyes and now we're taking off and now we're doing this. And this was a really good minister at the time. I mean, some of his books were awesome. And then I haven't heard anything from him since he got into this really. And I'm sitting there, I'm not laughing, but everybody's all around you acting like crazy people thinking they're in heaven. And I'm sitting there going, this ain't heaven. I saw my daughter in heaven right before her funeral. And it was the most awesome experience and breathtaking and seeing the Lord. And if it means I have to go through something horrible, then I can wait till the other side of heaven to see it again. Amen? And God chose. I didn't try to have it for you. You needed that. That would not take the place of my daughter. He gave me that because he chose to give me that for his purposes and his glory. Amen. He gave me that because he already took my sorrow and grief because I believed his word. Amen. And I was able to share it, and all the family members got saved that my daughter had prayed would get saved one day. He's an awesome God. Amen. He doesn't give you what you need, just so you know that. God only gives you what he wants to give you according to his grace, and you're going to get it in proportion to your faith. Put that on a bumper sticker. Amen. If he gave everybody what they need, how many know the world would look different? So it's not my job to make you imagine something. Now, how many have ever heard me do inner healing or healing the broken heart place? And as I begin to speak to somebody, you could see that. That's the Holy Spirit. And when it's really the Holy Spirit, it's so real to your spiritual eyes, you can really see it. It's like it really happens. And then if you go to talk about it, it's the same as if it really happened in the natural, though you know it was in the spirit. Amen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, wow, you went right to that place and you saw that. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? It's the same when I'm waiting on the Lord. If I'm waiting on the Lord and he wants to show, usually if you wait on the Lord and you have a real encounter with God, or you really have a face-to-face with the Lord, when the Lord speaks to you, do you know he just downloads right into your spirit, and it's really not even words. And when you go to try to explain to somebody what he said, it sounds so shallow compared to what he said. Does anybody know what I'm saying? If you can say it word for word, it probably wasn't him. Do you know what I'm saying? But then you go to say it, well, no, it really wasn't like, no, it was really kind of cool, but I can't say it like he says it. How many know what I'm talking about? And then you realize, you start to go to share what he said, and you know the whole encounter was like 2 minutes, and it takes you 20 minutes to explain what he said. How cool is God? Amen? Because he's a spirit God. So if I'm going to wait on him, it's my spirit man that's getting an expectation. My spirit man is filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, my spirit man is filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope yours is. Amen? And that's about you spending time with God, hanging out with God, letting God just anoint you and rub all over you and just worshiping him. When I wait on the Lord, I want you to get this. True waiting on the Lord is not your flesh. True waiting on the Lord is your spirit man. Does everybody know they have a spirit man? Your spirit man looks like you. So I want you to get this. I feel it in the spirit. I want those to get it. So when I go to wait on the Lord, we're getting ready to do this in a few minutes. And I want you to do this at home. I want you to do it, plan to do it on Friday nights. Get excited about it because that's where God really shows up. When we were at my house, some of you young people and a few of us, that's what we were doing. And it got kind of, it was almost like, I won't say it gets scary, but it gets intense. It gets so intense that you're kind of like, I don't know if I can handle any more of this. I know every time after I really have a powerful encounter with God, away from God, I sometimes just turn on like HGTV or something. It's like, I don't even want to think about this anymore. Does anybody else do that? It's like, this is like so intense. I just want to not think. I don't even want to, God, don't even touch me anymore. I'm going to burst. Sometimes I just want to scream, uncle, I can't do it. All right. You feel like you understand rapture. You understand why the bride's going to be raptured. She won't be able to stand it anymore. She'll see the bridegroom king and she'll come out. Your flesh will go, glorified body, jump right into it. And there we are with him. Amen. I'm serious about it. If you start to experience, you'll understand rapture. But you get a taste of that when you wait on the Lord and you're serious. And the key is, I only want what you have for me. So you never leave disappointed. So let's say God touches this person one way, and this person sees the Lord, and this person has a vision, and this person, and can I say, we need to believe for those things, amen? You can't get what you don't believe for, because our God operates in the faith realm. If you're afraid, you won't get it. I'm afraid of a vision. What if it's not God? Well, if you only want the Holy Spirit, he promises you he won't give you a serpent, amen? If you want bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He says he's better than a natural daddy who still usually won't mess you up. Amen? So you got to have faith in that. But I've heard all these stories. Well, quit reading, quit listening to websites and things that the people themselves. If you want to hear how to have an understanding of this, then you want people who've tasted and seen, but who have that reverence. You know what I mean? And they get it, but they've discerned the counterfeit. But they also know the real. I don't throw out the real because of the counterfeit. Satan wins. Amen. Satan wins if he can close down what God is doing. So it doesn't matter if he closes it down because you discern it, that the enemy's doing something, and then you stop the real.
Well, from now on, if you're going to prophesy, come up and speak in my ear first, and we'll decide if you can.
How about get mature enough that if God says speak it, you speak it, and then you can handle if a rebuke comes. And if the rebuke wasn't supposed to come, then you know that God will take care of the person who rebuked you, and you just did what God showed you to do. Amen? Well, what if leadership tells you you can't? Well, number one, you better only be there because God has you there. And then number two, don't. But then go up to that leader and say, this is what I've done. I say, I just want to get this clear. You just said that you do not want me to prophesy here unless I run it through you, even if God doesn't want me to run it through you. You would rather me not say what God wants me to say than to obey him. Is that what you're saying? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, no, just say it so I know. I just want to be clear because I'm submissive. So if you're telling me, even if God wants me to prophesy, and I know it's God, but you are telling me that unless I get permission from you, then I can't prophesy. Then it's going to be on you that I don't prophesy. Is that all right? What did I do? I wouldn't be controlled. That person lost their church because they said, okay, don't prophesy. Okay, all right, it's on me. Now, if somebody came up to me who's totally messed up and I know it, and I would tell them, I don't want you prophesying here until I see the fruit of the Spirit and until, you know, whatever. But that doesn't, God might be able to use you, but I'm not, it's not going to be a crazy house. Amen? That doesn't anybody want that? I don't want to close down the real because of the counterfeit. I promise you when Friday nights really get going again, we'll have so many more messed up people coming in. We're not against that. We want to help them get free. Amen. We want to help everybody get free. And then they might be some of the most powerful people for God we've ever seen. That's what happened with most of us. Amen. So when God moves, number one, you want to share it because you want to glorify him. Amen. Amen. Number two, we're not going to get jealous in a negative way or critical way of what God's doing with other people. So what does the Bible say? If God gives us somebody something tonight, he's given it to the whole body, unless he shows you this is personally for you. Amen? And hunger and thirst for God to do in your life what he's done in the lives of those in the Word of God. Amen? Lord, they had this kind of authority and power. I want this kind of authority and power. You're not a respecter of persons. But know that God's going to take you down the path to get there. Amen? And don't be afraid of that because the devil's going to take you down a path. I'd rather the Holy Spirit be taking me down the path. Amen? I'm not afraid. I'd rather the Holy Spirit be leading me to where I need to go That's trying to stay still so nothing bad happens, because there's already something bad happening if you're staying still. You're backslidden. Amen? So when we put the music on, and I want an atmosphere of expectation. I don't want witchcraft. I don't want conjuring. I don't want you to make up something. Amen? I don't want you to have, you don't have to receive anything in the supernatural, but recognize God's going to come and he's going to reveal himself to people in different ways. And then when they share, then listen, because you were here, right? So he did that for you too. Do you get that? Because he sees us as one body. He doesn't see us all broken up, and I'm going to do this for Cindy, I'm going to do this for Allison, and this for Donna, and I'm going to leave this person out, I'm going to leave that person out. He doesn't even think like that. He's like, okay, everybody open up to who I am, you know, to who God is. Open up to only want my Holy Spirit. If you know that you don't just want the Holy Spirit, then you might want to sit back and just say, God, my heart's not right for this, but I want to be a part of believing that those here who really just want the Holy Spirit, you're going to move in their lives, and I'm going to be in agreement with that. I'm going to pray into that. Amen. Lord can also bypass. He could talk to a donkey. Amen. He might shock you when you think there's no way he's going to talk to you. He might just get a hold of you like you never thought possible. Amen. That's what we're praying for, the young people. Anyhow, so you never know what God's going to do. Don't count yourself out, but don't try to make it happen. Amen. But rejoice in anything he does. What if he doesn't do anything? Folks, he's already doing something. Whoa, he's already doing something. He's already here. He's already teaching us to wait on him. The ones who want to get, who get this will begin to go home and spend time saying, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm not falling asleep and soaking. I'm going to actually position myself. I'm going to get up off the bed and actually go sit in that chair straight up and put on worship music. And I'm just going to believe, God, that you are going to give me this answer. You're going to reveal yourself. You're going to take me deeper. Amen. I'll go back to my story, then we'll get off Facebook Live. So the time we were all getting together, we didn't call it that, but that's actually what we did. We got together one night a week at one of the ladies' houses whose husband was in the military, and he was overseas. And it was probably about nine of us maybe. And we would just come. We didn't know anything, praise God. We just want Holy Spirit. We didn't know what that would look like. We probably weren't at all in the prophetic move or anything too deep yet. So we're sitting there, and but every time we'd worship and put on that little CD play, tape, and we'd begin to sing the song, and everybody would just close their eyes and think about Jesus and want to know God more. And they were just waiting on God, expecting God to just reveal something, expecting the Holy Spirit to reveal something about Jesus, reveal something about our Lord, reveal something about the Father, just this expectation that God was going to meet our hunger. Amen. And then, so this one time we were there, we always felt really awesome afterwards, and we'd cheer a little bit. And so this was right before I was going to Russia on a missions trip, which means Lauren had already gone to be with the Lord by then. And so we were there. And the year before was when my son was really sick and I missed my birthday party. How cool is God? So they bring me out a cake to give me a surprise birthday party, which is really nice. Somebody's walking out with the cake with a lot of candles. And all of a sudden, as they're singing happy birthday, you could feel the presence of God come in a tangible, powerful way. Yeah, it was dark because they had the lights out so you could see the candles. We watched supernaturally. I believe it was the Lord. It could have been an angel. Well, whatever. Could have been Spirit of the Lord, angel. He blew out all the candles, but he blew them out from the bottom part, so the top was flicking without the bottom part all at one time. And then right after that, he blew out all the top part. It's like a double blow. Like you couldn't do that. Like a human being couldn't do that. The wind couldn't do that. The air couldn't do that. We freaked out. We were like, ah! We're putting the cake down. But we are in God's presence. People laid on the floor. I don't know if we ever ate the cake. Everybody's worshiping God and thanking God. Why? We weren't expecting that. Amen. We weren't expecting, but we were hungry for God. We wanted to know him more. We had an expectation that he's real, and we're going to know that. Amen. And we've had all kinds of things happen, just all kinds of things happen. Now, you don't get back together and bake a cake and every birthday try to make it happen. Amen. You don't conjure it up, do the cake like this and try to blow the candles out. Amen. Do you get this? It's not a formula. It's just, and it meant so much because the Lord was saying, I remembered your birthday and we're celebrating, you're going on the mission field for the first, that was my first missions trip. How awesome is God? He doesn't have favorites. Does everybody get that? He's not a respecter of people. He is a respecter of those who are hungry and those who are letting him build their faith. Amen? He's all about who, God's all about who's about him. God is all about who's about him. I mean, he died so we would be about him. He really doesn't care how much we do for him. Even in our doing for him, it's because he's doing it through us to make us closer to him and to bring forth his will. If he wanted it done, he could do it any way he wants. But he chose to call us sons and daughters. He chose to send his spirit inside of us. And then he chose to give us the privilege of waiting upon him and learning him and moving in him and then letting him reveal himself through us. And never get confused. He's not trying to reveal you to the world. Talk about sons and daughters is very small in scripture. The talk about Jesus Christ is very big. Amen. He's not saying, sit down, Jesus, let my other sons and daughters come forth, as if Jesus is just like us. He says, no, I'm sending the same Holy Spirit into you that raised me from the dead. And you're going to do greater works for the glory of my Father. And you're going to do it how? Never forgetting Jesus in his name. You don't do it in your name. You don't do it because of what you've done. You don't do it because you've earned it. It has nothing really that much to do with you, except you believe. Except you believe. Amen? Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.